Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari La Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Shriya Prabhupada ki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, Verse 6. Nirguno pihi ajo vyakto Bhagavan prakrite para Svamaya gunama vishya Badya badakatam gata Nirguno pihi ajo vyakto Bhagavan prakrite para Svamaya gunama vishya Badya badakatam gata Bhagavan prakrite param svagunamayam avishyam adyavagatam gatam nigunopiyajo vyakto Bhagavan prakrite param samaya gunam avishyam Badya badakatam gatam Nirguno payajo vyakto Bhagavan prakrite param Please. Nirguno piyajo vyakto Bhagavan prakrite param visyam Adya badakatam gata Nirguna without material qualities Api, although. He, certainly. Aja, unborn. Avyakta, unmanifest. Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. Prakriti, to material nature. Para, transcendental. Svamaya, of his own energy. Gunam, material qualities. Avishya, entering. Badya, obligation. Badakatam, the condition of being obliged. Gataha, accepts. Translation and purport from His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is always transcendental to material qualities, and therefore He is called Nirguna, or without qualities. Because He is unborn, He does not have a material body to be subjected to attachment and hatred. Although the Lord is always above material existence, through His spiritual potency He appeared and acted like an ordinary human being, accepting duties and obligations, apparently like a conditioned soul. Purport. So-called attachment, detachment, and obligations pertain to the material nature, which is an emanation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But whenever the Lord descends and acts in this material world, He does so in His spiritual position. Although His activities materially appear different, spiritually they are absolute and non-different. Thus, it is an imposition upon the Supreme Lord to say that He is envious of anyone or friendly to anyone. In Bhagavad Gita 9:11, the Lord clearly says, Avajananti mammuda manushim tanum ashritam. Fools deride me when I descend in a human form. Krishna appears on this earth or within this universe without any change in His spiritual body or spiritual qualities. Indeed, He is never influenced by the material qualities. He is always free from such qualities, but He appears to act under material influence. This understanding is aropita, or an imposition. Therefore, Krishna says, Janma karma chame divyam. Whatever He does, being always transcendental, has nothing to do with material qualities. Evam yoveti tatvata. Only devotees can understand the truth of how He acts. The fact is that Krishna is never partial to anyone. He is always equal to everyone, but because of imperfect vision, influenced by material qualities, one imposes material qualities upon Krishna, and when one does so, he becomes a mudha, a fool. When one can properly understand the truth, one becomes devoted and nirguna, free from material qualities. Simply by understanding the activities of Krishna, one can become transcendental. And as soon as one is transcendental, he is fit to be transferred to the transcendental world. Tyaktva deham punar janma naitimam eti sorjuna. One who understands the activities of the Lord, in truth, is transferred to the spiritual world after he gives up this material world. Okay, Hare Krishna to everyone. Thank you for listening to me. This will be my first lecture, by the way, in my life. So I'm very happy that I'm here and I can speak something in glorification of Krishna. So I'm going to try to say a few words. First, I want to ask the senior devotees to give me their blessings so I can say something. Because without their blessings, I cannot say anything. Oh, please. Another thing I want to share is, yesterday I was speaking with Himanshu, and we were speaking that one is not qualified to sit on the Vyasa-san if he has not studied the 6 philosophical systems. So I'm definitely not qualified to sit in the Vyasasan today, but still. Okay. So I'm going to try to discuss a few points. One of them will be the partiality of Krishna. Krishna is not partial to anyone. And the whole chapter is called like this. The Lord is equal to everyone. So, Krishna is not partial to everyone. To anyone, that means that he gives equal opportunity to everyone to become his devotee. Everyone can become Krishna's devotee if he wants to, if he has desire. This is Krishna's impartiality. But at the same time, Krishna is very partial to his devotees, as we all know. So it's like an apparent contradiction. And this is our philosophy, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. At the same time, oneness and difference. So in the same time, Krishna is impartial, and at the same time, Krishna is partial. He's impartial because he's maintaining everyone. He's giving food to everyone, shelter, and environment to live. But and the opportunity for everyone to become his devotee. But at the same time, he is partial to those jivas, to those souls who are taking shelter in Krishna's lotus feet, who are becoming his devotees. So he's very partial in that sense. Yeah. So in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Krishna is saying, Samuham sarva bhuteshu name dveshya stina priya. I envy no one, nor am partial to anyone. I am equal to all. So Krishna is not envious to anyone. He doesn't need to be envious. He's the father of all living entities. As you can see, we are all children of Krishna, the Supreme Lord. And it's normal for him not to envy anyone. He doesn't need to envy. He doesn't have this quality. This is material quality from the material nature, from the three modes of material nature, envy. And he's not partial to anyone as well. He's equal to all. But this is only the first part of the verse. In the second part of the verse, Krishna is saying that, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I'm also a friend to him. Yeba janti temam bhaktya maiteteshu chapi aham. So that means that Krishna is impartially partial. If you surrender to him, he's becoming very partial to you. You're becoming very special to him. Like a father who has 10 children. And he loves all of his children, but if one or two of his children are helping or serving him very nicely and, you know, having a nice interaction, nice relationship, naturally he will be inclined to give more to these children, to love them more, to give them more affection. And in the same way, Krishna is a person. This is one of the main points I want to make today. That Krishna is a personality, he's a person, and it's not possible to be absolutely impartial to anyone because he's not some impersonal law or some machine, you know, who is just giving laws. And he's person, his personality. So it's natural for a person to have, you know, to have sympathy to someone and not so much sympathy to someone else. Because as we all know, there's some people which, you know, we like to interact more than with others. And this is something natural for a person, for a personality. Krishna has emotions, has feelings like every one of us. Like that. Yeah. So this was one of the points I wanted to make. If we ask someone from the other religious systems if God is partial, they will definitely say yes, he is. For example, if we ask the Christians, they will say, yeah, God is a Christian, and you know, he loves the Christians mostly. and we are all going to heaven, and everyone else is going to hell because he's not a servant of our God, the Christian God. The same way is with the Muslims and with the other all the others. It's a common misunderstanding. Yeah, but Krishna is equal to everyone. He's reciprocating equally to anyone and to everyone, in accordance with the desires of the person and his with his desires and on the level this particular jiva is, so he's reciprocating. Another aspect of Krishna's impartiality is that he is satisfying the desires of everyone. Even we can see that the people who don't care about God and about Krishna, their desires are still more or less satisfied. Of course, this is accordance to karma also. So one may ask the question, okay, if Krishna is so impartial, why one is a king, one is living like a king, he has money and he has everything, and the other person is a beggar on the street, he has to sleep in the extreme cold outside, which is not very nice. Why if God is partial, why then he is putting one person in that condition and the other in the other condition? And the answer is that even though Krishna is the Supreme Lord, he is aloof from this material world, and in this material world the law of karma is acting. He is managing this world through his mature energy, and the jivas has very small independence to choose their actions, what to do, how to live their lives. So naturally, if the law is that if one do pious activities, then he will live nicely in this world and be promoted to the heavenly planets and enjoy. And if one is doing sinful activities, then he will degrade and he will have to suffer. He will have to go to the hellish planets in the universe and having an intense suffering. So it's not that Krishna is responsible for this. We are all responsible for that, for our actions. This is our small independence. But still Krishna is giving a chance to every one of us to become his devotee and to solve all of our problems, namely birth, death, old age and disease, and go back home, back to Godhead at the end of our lives. So it's up to us if we're going to take it or not. Everyone here has taken this path. So now is the time to give it to others, to distribute Srila Prabhupada books and preach. Yeah. So I want to say a few words about Krishna's special care and special partiality to his devotees. So Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita that he personally is directing his devotees on their path back home, back to Godhead, and he personally is giving them intelligence by which they can come back home, come back in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan. And this verse in Bhagavad Gita is Tesham Satata Yukta Nam Bhajatam Priti Purva Kam Dadami Yoga Buddhiyam. What was it? Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upayanti Te. So Krishna basically saying that I'm giving the intelligence to the person who wants to come back home to solve all of his problems. And another point I wanted to make is that when one becomes a devotee of Krishna, the law of karma does not act anymore on him, upon him. It is said that from the day one surrenders to Krishna, it starts Krishna karma on him. So Krishna is directing him personally. And yeah, it's Krishna karma. So if something happened to us, we should know that this is a direct lesson from Krishna for our own purification, and it's for our ultimate benefit, so we can go back home, back to Godhead, as soon as possible. Another thing I wanted to say is that there is one story about one great acharya, great Vaishnava, which shows very nicely Krishna's special care. I'm not sure what is the name of this acharya, so if you know, please tell me. The story is basically that there was one acharya who was writing commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. So he got to this verse 9:22. Ninth chapter, the most confidential knowledge, and he saw this verse on the end. He said, "Vahami aham," which means that I personally, basically, the verse is to those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form. To them, I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. So this. Vahami aham means that Krishna personally is taking care of his devotee, and personally he is giving what the devotee is lacking. So this acharya, he thought to himself, well, this doesn't sound very logical. Well, why Krishna would come here to this mature world and waste his time with us? he can do it through his energies. So probably this is some kind of mistake, some kind of Sanskrit grammatical. And so he scratched it. then he went out to take a bath in the river or something like this. And actually they were very poor. He was living with his wife and they were very poor. So while he was bathing in the river, the two boys came on the door and knocked on the door, and his wife opened the door, and these two boys, they were all in scratches, you know. How do you say in scars? And they were carrying bags with a lot of food, a lot of nice food. So and his wife, he just saw them and was, "Well, what happened with you? Who did this to you? What happened?" And the boy said, "Well, your husband did this to us." And his wife was very, very upset about that. She took the food, and the boys went away. So when her husband came back, he saw that his wife was very angry, and he has taken her prasadam before him, his food. And usually in Vedic culture, the man is eating first, and the woman is serving him, and after him, the woman is eating. And he was very surprised to see this. Well, what is happening here? And she was very upset, and she told me, "What was that? You know, why did you beat these kids? What's your problem?" You know. And he said, "I haven't done anything to any kids. What were you speaking about?" And she told, "Well, they brought these bags of food, and they said they're for you, they're for us." And they went away, and you know, he asked, "Well, how these children looked like?" And then the wife said, you know, one of them was with little bluish skin, and the other was with white skin. So he made the sense that actually this is Krishna and Balaram, and they came to bring him personally what he needed. So he quickly unscratched the Vahami Aham. Yeah. So this is one of the examples that Krishna is very partial to his devotees. He's caring very much. If you surrender to him, of course, this is the condition. You have to be surrendered, fully surrendered. If you're not fully surrendered, he still will take care of you, but I don't know to what extent. Because Krishna is reciprocating. He's a person, his personality. And he is reciprocating with his devotees. And he's reciprocating with all the jivas, ultimately. Because he is in the form of Paramatma in everyone's heart. He's maintaining us. Yeah. And actually exactly this, the reciprocation of Krishna with his devotees is giving him so much joy and pleasure to have relationship with his loving relationship with his devotees and to have interaction with them. Okay, this was for about partial, that Krishna is at the same time Krishna is partial and impartial. So he's impartially partial. He's impartially partial because he's giving opportunity to everyone. He's impartial, giving opportunity to everyone to become his devotee, and he's partial because he's giving special care to his devotees. Okay, I'm going to speak a little bit about Nirguna now. Nirguna. Today's verse is starting like this. Nirguna. Nirguna pihya jovyakto. So Nirguna means without qualities. And usually the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, they're saying that God has no qualities. And this is misunderstanding. According to our philosophy, Krishna has qualities, but they are not material qualities. He has nothing to do with this material world. He is above the material modes of nature. And usually all the material qualities we have, they're a product of the material nature, but Krishna doesn't have such qualities. But that doesn't mean, at the same time, that Krishna doesn't have any qualities, because he is person, his personality, and he has everything like we do. He has qualities, he has feelings, he has emotions, mental, and on the spiritual platform. So usually when I've never spoke with any Mayavadis, but I've heard from lectures that usually when you speak with Mayavadis, they may say, yeah, there is God, but he doesn't have any form, he doesn't have any qualities, he doesn't have any name, you know. In other words, they're trying to make God nothing, you know. And this is one Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantra, namaste. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pachta Deshatarine. He's fighting with this Shunyavada. He's fighting with this nothingness. Voidness. So as Himanshu yesterday said that we should be practical in our lectures. So one practical advice is that if we're true followers of Srila Prabhupada, we should fight against this Shunyavada and Mayavada. We should preach strongly and fight with that. And yeah, because this is not the truth. God is not nothing. God is a person. And Srila Prabhupada's mission was to establish that, and he did it perfectly. And only because of him, most of us, we are here. We have the opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness. So it's not a bad idea to take up his mission and preach like him. Fight against the Mayavada and the Shunyavada, the oneness. Everything is one. There is no God. There is ultimately there is nothing. There is only void. So we have to fight with that. So Krishna has a lot of qualities. Krishna has 64 qualities. It is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or the Nectar of Devotion. Yesterday Himanshu was telling to me that I should speak on some Rasa Tattva, describe the transcendental qualities of Krishna. But I'm not qualified to speak on any Rasa Tattva, and I haven't read the almost non-Rasika books. So I'm not qualified about that. If he wants, he can add something on the end of the lecture. Krishna's interaction with the gopis and with his friends, and to show his divine qualities and personality. I'm going to say something about that. As we all know, the living entities, the jivas, we are qualitatively one with Krishna, but quantitatively different. So we have some of his qualities. And as I said, Krishna has 64 qualities. Lord Narayan, this is for Krishna and Balaram, both of them, they have 64 qualities. And I think that incarnations such as Nrisimhadev and Lord Ramachandra, they also have 64 qualities. I'm not sure about that. Was it that, Prabhu? You told me, yes. Was it that Nrisimhadev and Lord Ramachandra have 64 qualities? Or they don't display them. Yeah, they have the same qualities, but they don't display them. Lord Narayana, he has 60 qualities, and all the other Vishnu Tattva, they have 60 qualities, four or less than Krishna. Lord Shiva or Shiva Tattva, they have 55 qualities, and Lord Brahma and all the jivas or Jiva Tattva, we have 50 qualities. So we can develop only 50 of these qualities. So I'm gonna say a few words about the extra four qualities that only Krishna has, only Vraja Krishna has. These are the 61st, 61, 62, and 63 and 64. So the first one is that he is the performer of wonderful varieties of pastimes, especially in his childhood pastimes. So we can see that these pastimes, they're amazing. We cannot see this on the Vaikuntha planets or with any other incarnation with Krishna. There's no such pastimes as Krishna is performing, such loving relationships. And the special thing in Goloka Vrindavan is that nobody knows that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Everyone thinks that this is just my friend, but he's so nice and so special and so cool, or he's my lover, he's so beautiful, or he's my son, or he's my master. But no, nobody knows that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. While in the Vaikuntha planets, everyone knows that Narayana, he is the Supreme Lord, and there is a mood of reverence. While on Goloka Vrindavan, there is no such mood. This is one of the special things for Goloka Vrindavan. Quality 62. He is surrounded by devotees and endowed with wonderful love of Godhead. This is the other thing, that all the devotees in Goloka Vrindavan, they love Krishna unconditionally. They don't care if Krishna is God or he's not God. They don't care. They just love him unconditionally, and they're interacting with him. And actually, that makes Krishna very happy, that they have such unconditional love, and they don't take him as the Supreme God, but as their friend, their lover. This is Krishna Prema. We're also striving for this level. Fortunately, one day we can participate in these wonderful pastimes if we qualify ourselves. By the way, there is one letter from Srila Prabhupada to his devotees, to his followers, to his disciples, that now only what you have to do is to qualify yourself to meet with Krishna one day. So we also have to qualify ourselves to meet with Krishna one day and interact with him. And that's what we are doing now. Okay, quality 63. He can attract all living entities. We all know Krishna is all attractive, and this is what Krishna's name means. He's all attractive, he's attracting everyone. Like the four Kumaras, they were impersonalists. And who was that? And Shukadeva Goswami. But they were attracted by Krishna, and so they become devotees. Quality 64. He has wonderful excellence in beauty, which cannot be rivaled anywhere in his creation. So Vraja Krishna is the most beautiful form of the Supreme Lord. We all have seen pictures, and we can see the deities, Kishore Kishori. How beautiful are they? Krishna's skin is blue, like a blue cloud. He's wearing, usually on the Bhagavad Gita picture, he's wearing a blue golden dhoti. He has a long black hair. He has a flute. Yeah, like this. So there is no such intimacy between the Lord Narayan and his devotees or any other incarnation. We can have such intimacy only with Krishna. And this is the supreme perfection we can achieve, and we should strive for this. Okay. So on the end of this text, it is said that although the Lord is always above material existence, through his spiritual potency he appeared and acted like an ordinary human being, accepting duties and obligations apparently like a conditioned soul. So Krishna is appearing in this world, but his appearance, his birth is not like ours. It's not like ordinary birth. He doesn't have to suffer the suffering of birth. And he's appearing usually with a mission, or his incarnations, or his devotees, his representative. And it is said in 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. I appear to deliver the pious, or the devotees, to annihilate the miscreants, the demons, and to reestablish to reestablish dharma, religion. So he's appearing. And the acharyas are describing the esoteric meaning of his appearance. Actually, Krishna is appearing only because he wants to interact with his devotees. He can do everything with his energies. He can deliver the devotees. He can cure all the demons by his energies. He doesn't need to come, but he likes to come to interact, to have a relationship with his devotees, to give them joy and to make them happy. And this is what makes him happy also, the interaction, as I said. We can see his relationship with the Pandavas. And his Chaitanya Lila also, Lord Chaitanya's Lila. So it's all about interaction with his devotees. And Krishna is the perfect supreme being, and he's doing his duties and obligations perfectly when he's in the material world, even though he is not an ordinary human being. As we can see in third chapter, verse 22, Krishna is saying, O son of Prita, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I need to obtain anything. yet I'm engaged in prescribed duties. 23. For if I ever failed to engage in carefully performing prescribed duties, O Partha, certainly O men would follow my path. If I did not perform prescribed duties, all these worlds would be put to ruination. I will be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all living beings. So we can see that if Krishna doesn't do his duty when he is here, then all the persons there will say, well, the Lord, the Supreme Lord is not doing his duty, why should I do my duty? Well, I don't need to do my duty. And in that way, everything will be ruined, all the material world, and there will be hellish conditions in the material world. As we can see nowadays, and Kali Yuga is advancing, and we can see on some places like in the Middle East, the conditions there, they are hellish. People are living like literally hellish conditions, as I saw in the news a few days ago. So this is because people are ignorant and they're not doing their duty. They don't know what is their duty. They don't follow Varnashrama Dharma. They don't chant Hare Krishna. So Krishna is doing his duty only to give example for the others. Otherwise, he is not obliged to do any duties. He's the Supreme Lord and he can do whatever he wants. Yeah. So, in conclusion, I want to say a few words. I read Acharya Nishtha Prabhu's letter from India, and I liked it very much. He said that he made this point that now I am thoroughly convinced that this is the thing we should all do. This is the right thing that. And he said that we should dedicate our lives, we should sacrifice. And I was thinking, yeah, this is the thing that we should dedicate our lives to, this mission, to Srila Prabhupada's mission, to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And as ISKCON used to be in the 70s, a revolutionary movement who can save the world. Unfortunately, now the mood is a little bit different. Anyway, I'm not gonna discuss this. And we should sacrifice. This is the point. We should sacrifice, because Krishna is not something cheap, which we can achieve. He's not something cheap. He wants to see that we really have a desire to go back home, back to Godhead. So we really have to sacrifice ourselves. It's not like that. It will just come like this, you know. We have to do something to show him that we are sincere and we are ready to sacrifice for him. And he will reciprocate. Like Srila Prabhupada sacrificed himself, like Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj sacrificed himself. Many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they sacrificed themselves. So please, take this into consideration. Sacrifice yourself for the mission, for Srila Prabhupada, distribute his books, preach to everyone. And also, we should be serious about our sadhana. As once Srila Prabhupada was asked, what satisfies you the most? And he said that to love Krishna. So to love Krishna, we need to go through the gradual process of bhakti yoga and attain Krishna prema by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of the acharyas. And ultimately go back home, back to Godhead in one lifetime. So better not, what was the word? Procrastinate. Better not procrastinate and do this in one lifetime. Yeah, like that. So thank you very much for listening to me. Hare Krishna. If anyone wants to share something, any questions or any protests.
Thank you for the lecture. I have a question. You said that Krishna gives equal opportunity to become his devotee.
Yep.
But some of the people in their lifetime, they haven't even heard about him and they haven't met any opportunities to become Krishna conscious. So how would you explain that he is equal to those people who never get a chance?
Yeah, that's a good question. Why some people don't have the opportunity to hear about Krishna, to see Krishna? Yeah, that's there. Well, if one is sincere and he is looking for answers and looking for something, Krishna is in the heart of everyone, so he knows our desires. So if we're sincere and honest, if we have desire, a real desire to, you know, to do something with our lives, to end all of our miseries, our suffering, birth, death, old age, and disease, so Krishna will reciprocate. He will guide us. As many of us, we received some book on the street, or we just heard some mantra, or we just met someone, and after a few years, you're here, you're a devotee, and you're giving a lecture. You know? how this is happening. And yeah, like that. So, and there are also other religious systems like Christianity, Islam, and Buddhism, which are for others who have some, you know, some different desires maybe, or they want to try to come to Krishna through another path. Of course, the path is one, but you know, it's a different process. So they have opportunity to practice there some God consciousness, be conscious of God. And yeah. If anyone wants to share something on this
just
topic,
just to add to Sergei's question. At the root of that question really is another question, which is Krishna biased or is he
biased,
partial?
Yeah, right.
Because he seems to be giving devotees here, like devotees are becoming devotees here, but there we see no devotees are happening, so is Krishna somehow biased? And actually this question is a sort of a big question. Our acharyas deal with it quite a lot. I've been reading some stuff from the Paramatma Sandarbha that Jajan Prabhu was talking about, where Jiva Goswami discusses in great detail Krishna's quote-unquote partiality. And one very interesting point he brings out, moved by material suffering. Because if that was the case, then, you know, there would be no material suffering in the material world, because Krishna would be moved by the material suffering of the jivas and liberate everyone. So just like the sun is not touched by darkness, although the sun's rays are all pervasive, similarly Krishna being all-knowing is not touched by material misery. Then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains in Madhurya Kadamani that what is it that actually, you know, gives bhakti to the jivas? Is it Krishna's mercy? Because we see that Krishna's mercy seems a little partial. So what is it that actually gives bhakti to the living entities? And the answer he provides is that it's the devotee of Krishna. The devotees of Krishna are Krishna's agents in this world, and they are, you know, in different parts of the world. And wherever they see someone a little favorable, or sometimes not even favorable, sometimes, like I had this experience, I was walking with Rompad Maharaj at UIC and walking through the hallway, and one nice man, he just looked at Maharaj and stopped walking and folded his hands and offered pranams. Now that'll give him so much sukriti, that offering respect to a devotee of Krishna, you know. So now, was that Maharaj's partiality? No, Maharaj was just walking through the hallway, and this young man saw Maharaj and something in him moved, and he offered his pranams. And because of that, he got tons of sukriti, because Krishna is pleased by it when his devotees are respected. So definitely Krishna is not partial. Because also, just to point out one more quick example, and another reason why Krishna is not partial in terms of when he gives his mercy, you know the example of the two Arjuna trees in Krishna book, you know this pastime, Sergei? These two, he knocked them over, yeah. So sometimes we think, well, Krishna was thinking, my God, they're suffering in the bodies of trees for so many thousands of years. Let me liberate them. But actually, Jiva Goswami points out that that is not what compelled Krishna to knock those trees over. The real reason he did it is because of Narada Muni. Narada Muni was the one who wanted their welfare, and thus it was Narada's bhakti that impelled Krishna's mercy to then liberate those two individuals from their bodies of trees. So in all cases, really, it's always the bhakti of a devotee that then allows the mercy of Krishna to flow. So the real question is not so much why are some people not becoming devotees, but rather how can we, you know, how can devotees flood the earth so that everyone who's not a devotee can come in contact with the devotee and somehow have a chance of becoming Krishna conscious? Is that, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's a very good point, Prabhu. Thank you for bringing this point. Yeah, so it's our duty to qualify ourselves and go over the world and purify everyone and qualify them also. Make them devotees. People are waiting, yeah, definitely. We should do it.
By the mercy of Krishna, one gets the spiritual master, and by the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets Krishna, Chaita Guru, the Lord within the heart, directing the wanderings of all living entities. And what else was that? Can't think very clearly right now, but Prabhupada said, we are preaching the truth, and if you're honest, you'll accept it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a very, very good point. We should say the truth clearly and boldly. We shouldn't be. Yes, please.
Prabhu, you mentioned about the 64 qualities of Krishna, and before that Lord Rama and Narasimha also have 64 qualities.
Yeah.
So I'm curious because what I remember hearing is that Lord Rama and Narasimha, only Krishna has these four qualities. These are like, especially the flute, for example. So I'm curious about this.
Yeah, well, reference. As far as I understood, they have it, but they don't manifest it. And so they're on the same level as Krishna. They have the flute, they have everything, but they don't manifest it. This is how I understood. But I'm not quite sure about that. So I should research. Research more about it. So. Okay. They don't manifest it. Yeah, I saw it. Okay. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Gaura Premanandi.